What up,
Blog
Dre?
You ready, Rob?
Oh, oh yeah, wait, time to get crunk, people.
No, we're not gonna do that. Maybe I'll do it. Yeah, forget that for Rob. I'm in source control of the music. Oh, here we go. Oh yeah. Do not adjust your radio. Time is now. What, Rob?
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't beat me, my time is now. It's the franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now.
I'm a god, I fell off, I'm still hot. Knock
your time is now. Yeah, that's how we do it. We do it like that pretty much every Tuesday. You know what it is?
Dr. Dre, I got to give you a little bit of information real quick here. You know, fantasy sports on XM Radio is biting our music, man. We got to do something about that.
Are they really? Are they taking it?
Yeah.
Oh, man. We'll throw in a little stand-up and get crunk. I didn't mean to get you started on that. I know that's your thing, and we'll definitely try to incorporate a little bit of that as we always do, but did not realize that. But that's okay. You know, we can adapt. They're kind of trying to copy us, but that's okay. It is what it is. But, of course, everyone listening, we want to welcome you to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. I am Andre Peterson, joined by my fellow co-host, Mr. Robert Ford. You know what it is, Rob? They're not waving me, man. They're not waving me today, man. We're going to keep it moving, man. So, you know, no amateur thoughts for me or Rob. How are you doing today this evening, sir?
Doing great, man. Ready to get this party started, man. We got a lot of topics tonight and a lot of different sports.
Yes, that's it.
We got baseball, NFL, NBA, college football. A little golf,
man,
too, for you tonight.
Can we get it all in? I think we are going to try. But, of course, it is Tuesday, July the 16th. We're going to fill out a couple of numbers if you want to get in touch with us, you want to join us. You know how we do it. The call into the show, first and foremost, that number, it's 424-243-9519. You want to follow us on Facebook or Twitter, where you can hit us up in both areas. The Twitter address, it's at 12thmansports. And if we're trying to follow us on Facebook, we do a great job of updating us, keeping track of everything that's going on. Go to facebook.com/12thmansports, and then you can also find us if you put in Talking Sports with the 12th Man. So there's a lot of ways you can find us. And as Rob mentioned, there's a lot of topics to discuss. So let's jump right in. So obviously, Rob, as you know, the Major League Baseball All-Star Game is currently on. So if you've been keeping track, Mariano Rivera just jumped in there, did his thing. It's probably his last All-Star Game. I know you're a Yankee fan. Well, I'm not going to hold that against you. But he did his thing, man. It looks like the AL is going to actually pull this off with a 3-0 win over the National League. It's still got one more thing to go, but it looks like it's getting wrapped up for that.
Yeah, this is definitely a great tribute to Mariano Rivera and a great career he's had. Probably one of the greatest closer, if not the greatest closer, in Major League Baseball history. And so great send off to him. So it would be nice to see that. I got a quick question regarding the All-Star Game before we move into our next topic here. How do you feel about the winner of the All-Star Game getting home field advantage? You agree with that or disagree with
it? Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty neat. If you are, and it's tough, Rob, it really depends on what team wins. You know, it's one of those situations, too, because, as the games kind of get longer and longer, I think it kind of extends, if not closer to, I want to say closer to October or whatnot, or Mr. kind of the end of October, moving on to November. So, if you are a cold weather team like, maybe the Phillies or something like that, that could be a challenge. But I think it really depends on the, who actually wins. But I think it's a pretty good idea. I don't think it's, I don't know if that's a big motivating factor, but I'm okay with it. What about you?
Well, I think I have a slight problem with it. I think still the best team in the league still deserves to have home field advantage. And, I mean, even from your standpoint, I know you're a Braves fan. Let's say the Braves have the best record in the league and they somehow make it to the World Series this year, and with the American League winning, now they don't have home field advantage. And so I think I'm a little bit maybe on the old school side, whereas I think the best team in the league still is more deserving. I think the All-Star game is great. And I know they're trying to put more importance to it. But I still think the team with the best record in the league is still more deserving of having the home field advantage.
Yeah, I mean, now that you put it that way, I mean, I can definitely concur in that instance. Not that I'm wishy-washy by any means. I mean, I kind of could go either way with it. But, you know, it should – I like the old-school aspect of that. Yeah, best team, keep the home field advantage, man. But, you know, like I said, it's one of those situations where, you know, baseball could have a lot of work as far as the commissioner is one of the sports. But, you know, for now, it is what it is.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we'll stay tuned. We'll keep you posted on the All-Star game here. And we're going to move on to our next topic, Dr. Dre.
Yes, sir. The next topic we're going to talk about, Chris Davis, excuse me, says that the home run record is 61, not 73. Man, coming off Rob firing, guns blazing, trying to get this all riled up about this. Do you agree with that? And I'm sure I'd love to hear our thoughts as far as that. Maybe we'll post that on the Facebook page. And I'm kind of old school in this aspect, Rob, and I think that, yeah, 61 definitely should be the home run record because in an era where a lot of questions with steroids and performance-enhancing drugs, I definitely think that keeping that original record, you know, at Roger Maris's original 61, I think that's okay. This is kind of that was whenever the game was untainted. If you will, I think there's too many question marks, too many asterisks in the game right now. So I'd love to hear your thoughts as well.
Well, I think Chris Davis is a very good young baseball player and you know, might, if there's anybody that has a chance to break 61 or 73 in the game, he might be the guy, a very good young player. But I'm going to disagree. I think the record is 73, and I think part of the blame, you know, is probably Major League Baseball and, you know, for taking so long to get a handle on a steroid issue. And another reason why I'm going to say 73, we've yet to get any proof if Barry Bonds was on. We don't have any legitimate proof. I know there's suspicion that he was on steroids that particular year, but we don't have any proof of that yet. And so I think we can't, you know, base that off suspicion until we have proof. And so I'm going to defer here a little bit and say 73 is the record. And, you know, we don't know how far, you know, steroids have been going on in baseball. I think it's been going on for quite some time. And, but like I said, you know, he never tested positive. So we don't really have any proof that he did. So I think we have to still give him credit for those 73 home runs.
Looks like we're going to disagree the whole night, ladies and gentlemen. That's what it's all about. But
so far, we're two for two.
We are two for two. There's a book, Rob, that you definitely have to check out called Game of Shadows. Game of Shadows, which is a very interesting take, definitely about the subject, and it may open your eyes about that. So I'm just going to throw that out there. Definitely talking about the whole steroid use whenever that was going down, as long as I'm thinking of, I'm missing the runner, Marion Thomas, I want to say. I can't think of the name now. Marion Jones, thank you for that. I couldn't think of the name of the runner.
Also played basketball with North Carolina's women's team as well.
Yeah. So it was a very, very enlightening book regarding the whole steroid era. And they actually found that the guy that was in charge of this whole thing, Victor Conti from Balco, was a pretty much a bold guy. And he found an old strain of the steroid. Rob, and this is a story that was around like in the 1950s, I want to say, something that hasn't been tested in almost like 50 years, something crazy like that. So he found this old strain and was able to reproduce that steroid, and it was pretty cocky. That's why they weren't able to find this particular hidden steroid, because they didn't test for it. So anyway, to make a long story short, I have to get off subject here, but it was very, very interesting as far as how he had labs and how he was able to kind of do some pre-testing. Pretty amazing stuff, that may, like I said, that's kind of where I definitely think that there's something that's been going down. You know, as far as the proof of burden, it's definitely a situation where it's one of those things where there's smoke, there's fire. There's been a lot of smoke going on, even though technically there may not be any proof to say, but I'm telling you, there are certain things that just don't add up. But I'll leave it with that.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I think baseball has a huge steroids problem. Absolutely. I totally agree with you on that. But I'm just saying for that particular year, Barry Bonds has never failed a drug test. I was just saying from his standpoint, we don't have any legitimate proof. But do I think baseball is a huge steroid problem? Absolutely.
Gotcha. And that's what it's all about, sir. You know, we're going to definitely keep it going. And I respect your opinion and stuff like that. So it's good stuff, man, as always. We are moving right along. We're having some fun with this. We are still, like I said, talking a lot of different things. And I guess we're going to switch gears just a little bit. We'll keep an eye on the All-Star Game, too. You mentioned that we're talking about golf, Rob, and I like this. Can Tiger end his major drought this weekend? And I'm going to defer to you in this instance and give us your thoughts of what's going to happen here.
Well, it's been 6 years. Even though Tiger Woods is ranked number one in the world, he's having a great year so far this year. And he's really kind of bounced back in the last year and a half. But for whatever reason, he's still having trouble winning the major tournaments. And I'm going to say he will not win this weekend, but I think he will win a major very soon. If not this year, he'll be back to winning them next year. And I think, you know, he's just coming back from a little bit of an elbow injury. Might be a little rusty, even though this is a surface that maybe he's going to normally performs well on. I'm going to take the field in this British Open and say he won't end the drought this weekend. But I think in the next major or two, he will end the six-year drought of winning a major tournament.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'm gonna agree with you. So I'm not gonna be the guy that's gonna keep playing radio here. But it's gonna be tough. I mean, even though he's got his girlfriend Lindsey Vonn on the course with him, I still think he's gonna get close, but maybe not just this instant, just yet. I definitely think he's playing a lot better. He is still the guy that everyone kind of like keeps an eye on as far as golf. So, I agree with you. I don't think he's going to be there just yet, but definitely it's going to be coming down the pipe for sure for him.
Absolutely. And we all know that close only counts in horseshoes.
Close only counts in darts, maybe, if you want to count that as well. man. Let's have some fun. So a lot of things have been going on. We're still switching gears. We're making a lot of progress. Rob, some say this is the slowest sports day in history after this game because there's no All-Star Game or anything, but we're moving right along. Let's talk about something that's going on in the college football world. SEC media days are going on. A lot of interesting things going on. But looks like the first shot was actually fired by Florida coach Will Muschamp at Urban Meyer. And kind of talking about some, I guess, alleged allegations as far as recruiting violations. What do you think about this, Rob?
Well, you know, it's real interesting here. I don't know if you know the whole story. Urban Meyer reported some recruiting violations by one of Florida Gators' assistant coaches. And of course, SEC Media Day today, Will Muschamp, the Florida coach, just kind of went off talking about Ohio State. Urban Meyer understands the rules, obviously, and things of that nature, and just kind of took a shot. I didn't think it was the right platform to do that, and obviously I think if Will Muschamp lost out on a recruit and thought that somebody, you know, was able to get a player illegally, I think he would probably do the same thing. And so I think I kind of disagree the way Will Muschamp handled that at Media Day today.
You know, this is interesting, Rob, because certain things could be said that he was more sarcastic with that, with that particular comment. Not that I'm trying to disagree with you, but well, I agree with you. Maybe not the right platform, but, you know, he could have, something that's a little sarcastic. I think it's ironic since Urban Meyer used to coach at the University of Florida, everything like that. So, isn't that pretty odd that Urban Meyer's kind of looking at as old school about that? Do you think he's kind of like stirring up some things, or
yeah.
or why would you think that Urban Meyer would do something like that?
Well, I think it's a couple of reasons here. Ohio State, in order for them to be a big time program, they need players out of Florida, and so obviously Ohio does produce a good amount of pretty good football players. It's probably still one of the top seven football producing states in the country. So, of course, they're going to get their share of players. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, Florida has the speed. And in order for them to compete with the SEC, and they got to get some players out of Florida as well. So, you know, he's going to report everything he possibly can to try to get mm-hmm. something to their advantage in Ohio State. And, of course, you know, I'm sure there's more kids in Florida that wants to play for Florida than do Ohio State. So he's trying to get whatever possible advantage that he can possibly get to help him to get some of those kids out of the state of Florida.
Yeah, we'll see this tactic actually works, Rob, but this is backfiring on Urban Meyer. So anything to get your name in the news, I guess you can go from there. But I agree with you. Florida does have the speed, and, yeah, we'll see if they want to trade in that nice, balmy environment for the cold of Ohio State, because I've been on both sides of that, too. So let's keep it moving here. I'm going to throw out the numbers. If you want to call in, give us your thoughts. We're having a good time talking sports. 424-243-9519 is the number to call in. If you have any thoughts or feedback you'd like to hear for the show, if you want to hit us up on the Twitter line, we are actually at 12th Man Sports as well. And then don't forget, we're on Facebook too, so a lot of different ways you can keep track of what is going on. Let's kind of throw some SEC predictions out there, Robin. This is pretty interesting because, number one, I'm going to ask you, this is kind of early for this too. I mean, Heisman's hot, man. Is Jadeveon Clowney the man to get the Heisman this year? It's pretty rare for a defensive player to do that. The last time, I think we had Charles Woodson that was in there, even though he played a little bit of offense. He played a little special teams. He wasn't a true defensive player, but that seems like a while ago since we had a player and that mold actually went in the Heisman. But that being said, for the predictions, I mean, like, looks like South Carolina, they've got a lot to prove. Texas A&M may be a little on the downswing because of Johnny Manziel's actions. I know he's going a little nuts. You still got Georgia, young Georgia team with an experienced quarterback. LSU is back. Is Zach Mecklenburg kind of going to improve on the season? A lot of storylines that we can talk about, Rob.
Yeah, what I like to do here with this is let's predict the top three teams in each division, the East and West. And I'm going to start with the East. And I'm going to say Georgia wins the East again with a veteran quarterback, Aaron Murray. I'm going to go Florida second, and I'm going to go South Carolina third as far as the SEC East is concerned. Now, moving over to the SEC West, I'm going to go Alabama 1 here with the experienced quarterback, A.J. McCarron. I'm going to go LSU 2, and I'm going to go Texas A&M 3. So a rematch, I'm predicting a rematch of Alabama and Georgia in the SEC championship game, with Alabama winning the SEC again.
Man, where's
as much
Vanderbilt
as it pains
at?
Me to say that.
Uh-oh. So where's Vanderbilt at whenever you need him? No.
Oh, yeah. They're going to class at Vanderbilt.
Oh, man. The SEC East, you had Georgia winning that? That's what you said?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Georgia number
one. I'm predicting a Georgia-Alabama rematch.
Florida, I mean, I think that looks pretty accurate. It's a toss-up. I may have to go with Georgia number one, South Carolina two, and Florida third, three, just because I'm falling into the hype with Jadeveon Clowney for the SEC East. For the West, yeah, Nick Saban got that train rolling on the track. I like that. I'm actually going to switch up. I'm going to show your boy some love in LSU number two. The reason why I'm going to do that is because I think Texas A&M, who I'm predicting going third, I think that they got too many distractions this year with Manziel. I think people are going to get caught up to him, and a lot of things went on with that. So that's my take as far as that.
I agree. That's kind of why I had Texas A&M 3 in the bunch. And, you know, if you'd asked me this question about a month or two ago, I thought Texas A&M had a chance to win the division. But I just think there's a lot of distractions going on over there, and that's the main reason why I dropped them down to 3 in the division.
Just got to let you know we got a Twitter question, Rob, which is pretty cool. We always appreciate those. It is a little off topic, but we're moving right on to the NFL. And I had a Twitter question that somebody just asked me, and somebody asked you, what do you think about, what are your thoughts about Colin Kaepernick wearing the Miami Dolphins hat? We know it happened a couple few weeks ago, but I guess they want to know if they think that the San Francisco media, sports media, blew it regarding the story.
Well, I think if you're with the organization, you shouldn't be wearing another organization's hat. That's just the way I feel. I don't care if you grew up a fan of that team. You shouldn't be. You should not be wearing another organization's hat if you're under contract with the San Francisco 49ers. So I definitely think that was a huge mistake by Colin Kaepernick.
Win in Rome, Rob. Rob has nothing to say about that. I think it's pretty interesting, and I know this is going to go right up above our next question, too. What if you grew up in Miami and you just happened to, like you said, be a Miami Dolphins fan, and now you get drafted by the 49ers, but let's say you've always been a childhood, that's been like your childhood team.
Yeah, but you can't say it when you're with another team. I don't think that's a problem, per se, but you can't say it. Especially if it's a team in your division who's an arch rival. So I think if you're referring to Cam Newton, and you know, I understand Cam Newton's from Atlanta, and I know if you're a Carolina Panthers fan, you can't like it. I know you're a Falcon fan, so you may actually like hearing that. But I think if you're a Carolina Panthers fan, you can't like the fact that he still roots for Atlanta. Even though he's from Atlanta, I think that's somewhat understandable, but you can't say it.
Yeah, I mean, I can agree with that. I mean, I think it is kind of neat because there's certain players that I think that you want them to do well. I mean, like, obviously, like, you know, I'm a Cam Newton fan. I hope that he does well. Obviously not against the Falcons. Mm-hmm. Certain players you may root for. You know, there's certain, like, you know, a certain player you may like the way that he plays. Whenever Donovan McNabb played for the Eagles, I went in to do well. I was a fan of Donovan McNabb, maybe not necessarily a fan of the Eagles, even though I hate to admit that, but there's certain players that you want them to do well, and I think that's okay. So, you know, obviously it is kind of one of those balances, and you kind of spread along different allegiances, whether you're college or vice versa. But, you know, like you said, maybe it wasn't the right place for him to say that. He was in Atlanta. Maybe he said it off the cuff and somebody still printed it, which, you know, that does happen. And he may have been, hey, you know, he's doing a charity here in Atlanta. And since he does live here, a little bit probably part-time involved. He probably split time within Carolina and also with Atlanta. But, you know, I think it's cool. But, you know, like I said, you probably should have kept it under wraps and not said it out loud.
Absolutely.
Rob has nothing to say. I love it. Moving right along, this is another interesting part. The Packers say that the Brett Favre's jersey will be retired, but not yet. What does that mean? Are they trying to, like, save it for a special day? I mean, what's going on with this, Rob? Is it too soon? The wound still
yeah.
Still. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about with this.
I think I can understand where the Packers are going with this. I think the wound is a little bit too soon with him going to the Jets and playing for the Vikings. I think they're probably going to wait at least another 3 to 5 more years before they go ahead and honor him at Lambeau Field and retire his jersey. So they're just trying to get a little bit of that steam to go away, and eventually everybody will come around and he'll be a Packer for life.
Packer. That I don't know if Packer for life is the right word for now, but, you know, obviously he did a lot of things for that organization. He didn't really.
He still did
Aaron
more
Rodgers
for the Packers than he did for anybody else.
Yeah, I'll give that to you. That is 100% true. You know, Aaron Rodgers got a Super Bowl too. So, you know, we'll see if it's all said and done, how it actually plays out. But I agree with you, kind of too soon. They'll let for everyone to kind of calm down, and then we'll see what happens in that instance for sure. We are making good time. I guess we got about 5 minutes left here. We're still going to move right on, getting into some more topics here. Once again, 424-243-9519 is the number to call into the show. Everyone's been doing a great job as far as feeding us questions on Twitter, at 12th Man Sports, and also on Facebook as well. So we're going to keep it going. We're going to talk about some quick teams that you say, five NFL teams that could surprise people this season. So I'm going to throw that up to you, Rob, and we'll get ready to set up for the OT portion of the show as well.
Yeah, so we're going to try to go through this pretty quickly here. I'm going to talk about the first team I want to talk about is the St. Louis Rams. And I know they're in a division with the 49ers, as well as the Seahawks, two teams that some people believe might be the two best teams in the NFC. And but this Rams team played both of those teams extremely tough. Probably played the 49ers as tough as anybody in the league did last year. And so, but this is a team that's very well coached by Jeff Fisher, and they've got better here in the offseason. Both offensively, they got more weapons. Defensively, they're going to be better. This is a team that's just maybe just a slight notch below the Seahawks and the 49ers. That gap is closed quite a bit, and a lot of people are not talking about the Rams. So this is definitely a team you want to watch this season. Another team we'll talk about is the Miami Dolphins. This is another team. I think Ryan Tannehill is going to have the biggest leap from year one to two in the NFL this season. He's going to have a breakout year this year. Watch the running back as well, Lamar Miller. Jonathan Martin, I think offensive lineman, is a bit poised for a big year. They have a lot of guys on their team that's really poised to take a step up in the game, and they really improve their roster as well, you know, getting Mike Wallace. So this is another team to watch. And I think they're going to contend with the Patriots for this division title. I really do. I think they're going to be neck and neck here competing for that division title. Another one is going to be a slight surprise here is the Jacksonville Jaguars. This is a team I don't think they're going to compete for playoff. I don't think they're going to compete for playoff, but I think you're going to see an improved ball club that's going to be a tough out. I think this is a team that can get up to about 6 or 7 wins this year. It's going to be physical with Gus Bradley. And even though they didn't go out and get a new quarterback, I think they've made some improvements to the offensive line. They still got Maurice Jones-Drew. They're going to be a team that's going to want to run it down your throat and play good defense, and they're going to stay in a lot of games this year. So this is going to be a team that a lot of teams don't want to play, but they're not yet a playoff team. And another team, my fourth team I'm going to talk about here is, I don't know how we're looking on time here, Dr. Dre.
Yeah, we got about, so you can go ahead.
Let's kind of wrap this up and get ready for our OT portion. But so this is kind of tease you guys. I'm going to get to my final two teams in the OT, and then Andre will reveal his five teams in OT, and then we're going to talk about some NBA and OT. So hopefully you guys will listen to our OT portion tomorrow while you're on your lunch breaks or after you get off from work tomorrow. Click on the same link, and you can get our thoughts on our surprise teams, as well as a little bit of NBA talk on our OT portion. But as well as join us on next Tuesday as well, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central. That'll be 9 p.m. Mountain Time, 8 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Hawaiian. So don't forget to join us on next Tuesday night. Any closing remarks, Dr. Dre?
No, I definitely want to improve that. We'll have to talk in. We're getting wrapped. Do we have time to grab this quick call here? I'm going to see if we can jump in. You got a quick call? You got quick minutes to add some thoughts to your talking sports for the 12th man?
Yeah, guys, it's Mike. I guess Isaiah Thomas is running the Knicks again here. I mean, are you guys kidding me? I've seen these moves they're making just totally baffles me. I mean, you got J.R. Smith, Metal World Peace, Carmelo Anthony, you know, they're looking at Kenyon Martin again. Is this the Rutgers Island basketball team, or is this an NBA team, guys? I mean, it totally blows my mind, these moves they're making. It's like they could go in self-destruction next year if things don't go well.
Mike, I appreciate
Well, you're making some very valid points here, Mike. I'm assuming you're a New Yorker, am I correct?
No, I'm actually in Pennsylvania. I'm a Celtics fan, but just watching the way the Knicks are being run, you'd think after Isaiah Thomas left, things would start to pick up, but these decisions the general manager are making, you know, are terrible. It's a recipe for disaster with all these, you know, egos on the team, and they're not even that good anymore, half these players.
Yeah, and I didn't like the Andrea Bargnani pick either. I think
he's
soft. I think, you know, he only had averages about 4 rebounds a game for a guy that's 6'11", 7 feet. I think as far as average minutes per game for power forward, he had the lowest rebound per minute, you know, in the NBA. And so I would agree with you. I think the Knicks are making some head-scratching moves here, and I don't think they're going to be in the same ballpark with the Heat, the Nets, the Brooklyn Nets, of course, I think has improved their ball club. I think the Pacers are still going to be there, and I think the Bulls. And so you got to see the Knicks are at best the fifth team in the Eastern Conference behind those four teams.
Just a real quick prediction. I know you're running on time here. I think you're going to see who the real Knicks fans are next year, because a lot of these so-called Knicks fans have a second option now to go over to Brooklyn. And I think you're going to see the loyal Knicks fans who they really are, because a lot of these people are going to jump on the boat when Brooklyn's competing for a title. I really, truly believe that. The Knicks haven't won a championship, you know, in however many years, more than most people, longer than they've been born. And you've got a team in Brooklyn, an owner who's going to go at all costs to put a championship team out there. So I think you're going to see a lot of these so-called Knicks fans wearing Brooklyn hats by the end of next year's season.
That
could be true, but one thing I do know about New Yorkers, they're if you are a Jets fan, you hate the Giants. If you're a Giants fan, you hate the Jets. If you're a Yankees fan, you hate the Mets. And if you're a Mets fan, you hate the Yankees. So it's going to be interesting to see if that kind of thing happens with the two basketball teams. With the Nets and Knicks. So that's going to be very interesting to follow, Mike.
Yeah, and you know the crazy thing about Brooklyn is Andre Kirilenko turned down $10 million from Minnesota, but he accepted only $3.1 million for Brooklyn. That just that smells to me. Something's going on with Prokhorov and Kirilenko in Russia. They have some deal overseas, you know, that they're pulling the wool over Stern's eyes here, because that's not modern day NBA players to take an $8 million pay cut. It's just very, very, very strange to me. And you know, in 10 years,
and the Spurs offered them $12 million.
Spurs offered them twelve,
and the rest of the NBA is crying foul right now and want David Stern to investigate this deal. As you mentioned, you know, you have a billionaire Russian owner with the Brooklyn Nets. And Andrei Kirilenko is Russian as well. So there are a lot of NBA teams crying foul here that it has to be a side deal somewhere on the table for him to take that contract.
Yeah, and you look at it too. I mean, Stern, you know, he canceled the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers last year. He put a nix on this Kevin Garnett and Pierce going to the Clippers with Doc Rivers. But yet he let something obvious there, where a player takes an $8 million pay cut with some Russian, you know, backdoor, you know, whatever's going on. So it's just very. I actually like it, because it brings some excitement to the off season that, you know, you normally wouldn't have.
Absolutely, this has already been an exciting off season in the NBA, and you know, I can't wait for the season to start. To be honest with you, already. And so I'm looking forward to it. There's been a lot of changes in the NBA. A lot of teams have gotten better. Some teams have gotten worse, too, as well. So I think it's going to be very intriguing NBA season next year. And I know the off season is starting to wind down. I think most teams have made the big moves. There's going to be some small moves here and there, and maybe a few trades that's going to go down. But I think most of the big moves have been made so far in the NBA offseason, but it's going to be very intriguing.
And, you know, one last thing, guys. One last thing. It's switching over a little bit to college football. I'm targeting, it's on my calendar already, September 14th, the game of the century, college football. Alabama is going to Texas A&M and Johnny football. I can't think of a game I've been more hyped up on that early in the season in college football.
Yeah, that's going to be a heck of a football game, and I don't know if you guys have heard this, but so far the highest average ticket price for any college football game this year is that game. And
yeah.
I think it was LSU against either Alabama or LSU against Texas A&M that was second. But the Alabama-Texas A&M game has the highest average ticket price that's going over the Internet right now of any college football this season. So, obviously, that is the most anticipated college football game this coming season. Should be very interesting.
Do you have any predictions? Because it's hard to beat Saban 2 years in a row, and if you look at it, Alabama has a bye week before that game. So
I like Alabama in that game.
Yeah.
And I like them on the road. I think there's too much turmoil going on with Texas A&M right now and Manziel. And I just think Alabama's going to come to that game extremely focused and ready to play in that game. And, you know, last year Texas A&M caught Alabama after Alabama played LSU and Alabama
yeah.
was beat up. Even though they squeaked that game out, you know, they won a dogfight with LSU and they were an exhausted football team. And Texas A&M caught them at a great time.
I agree. Hey, thanks for the time. You guys have a good one.
Thanks for the call, Mike.
Thank
keep
you so
listening
much for
to
calling.
Us
I
and keep calling in.
Us, yeah.
You bet.
Okay.
What a great call from Mike, man. We appreciate him sucking in. Man, that was a great, great call. That's what we do. We're not ashamed to kind of, or not scared to kind of switch it up and kind of talk football. I was letting you guys be on that roll, Rob. So it's going to be great listening to the OT portion of the show next week. So it's going to be a good time, sir. So good stuff, man.
Fantastic. Let's kind of get back to the five sleeper teams here and kind of go over yours here as well. I already talked about the Rams, the Dolphins, and the Jaguars and two more. And one I'm actually going to throw out is the New Orleans Saints. I think they're a little bit of a under radar after having such a horrible defensive team last year and not having the head coach in Sean Payton. Now things seem to be back to normal a little bit with coaching staff fully intact and kind of got over the so-called bounty scandal of last year and things of that nature. And so I think there are a lot of people that maybe have kind of forgotten about them in a potent offense and things of that nature. And I think you're going to see a team that's going to be right back in the running for a division title and playoff run this season. So that will be my fourth team. And then last but not least is the Cincinnati Bengals. I think the Bengals will win the AFC North. I think they will surpass the Steelers and the Ravens. And I think they just need Andy Dalton to take that next step. But I think when you look at their roster, they've gotten better at the running back position. They've gotten better at the wide receiver position. They've gotten better at the tight end position. They've gotten better on defense and on the offensive line. And if they can just get Andy Dalton to take that next step, this team could be right up there with the Houston Texans, the New England Patriots, for being at the top of the AFC next season if they can get Dalton to take that step up.
I like Tim Tebow, man. Some way, somehow, man. There's a way to get Tim Tebow.
Oh, sorry.
I was thinking of something, man. that's a big – I'm just joking. I always got to figure out a way to incorporate that. I agree with you as far as a couple things that you said earlier with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Definitely 100% agree with that one. They may not be, like you said, world beaters, but I definitely think it's going to be a situation where they're going to surprise some people. Another team that I think is going to surprise some people, I'm going to go a little bit different here. I'm going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs. They had a terrible record last year. But I think just bringing a coach like Andy Reid in there to kind of solidify some things. Not saying that Alex Smith is the total answer, but I think a change of scenery was going to do him a great job. They're going to be a solid team. Well, you know, they're going to definitely make some improvements as opposed to last year. They already had a pretty good pieces, pretty good defense. Now they're just trying to get Andy Reid to kind of add his components to the offensive side. of the team. Another team that I actually like, not that I'm liking them, but I think it's they're gonna get out to a pretty good start until everyone kind of figures them out, is the Philadelphia Eagles, only because of the fact that everyone's going to be curious as far as what's going to happen with the Chip Kelly offense. I know he's going to try to get that fast pace. Early on in the season, Rob, I think it may work out. Towards the end of the season, maybe not as much. I think it may get a little tiring for the players because the NFL, the season does kind of tend to drag on, and it's a physical game. So I think that they'll get a good start, but I think you may catch some teams by surprise because they won't be used to that offense. But once they get film on them, they'll start to catch up to what Chip Kelly is going to be doing. I also like where you're going with the Bengals. I'm going to say, too, I also like what's going on with the Cleveland Browns. They're not going to do anything earth-shattering, but I do like the fact that they had a pretty good defense, Rob, and they're just kind of quietly kind of building some things. I like where they're going with that. Obviously, I don't think Brandon Whedon is the total answer, but they continue to kind of build those pieces, and we'll see what happens with that. And same thing with the Dolphins. I mean, you definitely got to like what's going to happen with Tannehill. He definitely came in there and did what he had to do. You know, obviously, they made a big trade, getting the free agent, obviously getting their receiver, if you will, and that's kind of the biggest piece they're missing. You know, obviously, losing Reggie Bush is big, but, you know, like you said, we're going to see what happens with Lamar Holmes, I want to say, is the running back that you said earlier. I can't think of the name who they picked up.
Lamar Miller.
Lamar Miller, excuse me. I was mixing Priest Holmes and somebody else, but Lamar Miller from Miami, great move for them. So that's what we have as far as my team. So that's what we got, sir. You know, we could talk about
very good. I like the Kansas City Chiefs pick too. That's one I kind of forgot about. I think they have a very good chance of making a playoffs there. They have a very strong roster, and then with getting a coach like Reed, and hopefully you get some stability out of Alex Smith at the quarterback position. Yeah, that's definitely a team that I really like as well.
Gotcha. We've got about 3 minutes here. I definitely want to talk about a couple of things. We may not get a chance to talk about all of these topics, but I do want to just jump real quickly as far as the Miami Heat using the amnesty clause on Mike Miller. You know, is this a good move? I'm going to throw this out to you, Rob. You know, I think in this example they can probably get another player just as good as Mike Miller. You know, Mike has been kind of battling some injuries, Rob, so for the money that they're paying him, I'm pretty sure they can either split that with two players or just add a basic shooter and just kind of go from that too. So I think this is actually a pretty good move on the Heat's part.
Well, yeah, I think what you got to look at here is the Miami Heat is way over the luxury tax, and this is going to save them for the amount of money they're going to spend on a luxury tax. And I think what happens here is when they beat the Oklahoma City Thunder in the finals a couple of years ago, Miller was such a huge part of that. And this year against the Spurs, he did knock down a few big shots, but he just was a liability on defense. But they also had other players on the team that were stepping up hitting big shots like Ray Allen and things of that nature. And so it just saves the Miami Heat a ton of money. I don't think Pat Riley wanted to release him, but I think when you look at the owner's pocketbook here, it's a business, and I think the owner was like, well, he didn't quite have the impact this year as he had last year, and it's going to save us some money in the luxury tax. So I think it was more of a smart business decision for the Miami Heat here, and I know it's a tough decision, but it was a smart business decision by the Heat.
Yeah, I agree. We are 1 minute, Rob. Let's kind of wrap this up real quick and talk about next week, as always.
Yeah, once again, people, join us on next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 o'clock Pacific. We're going to have a lot to talk about, of course, getting ready for training camps here in the NFL. We'll start previewing the season a little bit more, get into some college football. We'll be kind of wrapping up here at the NBA free agency. Max, we have a few more big moves by next Tuesday. And we're kind of getting into the baseball stretch run out of the All-Star game is over. So make sure you all join us next Tuesday night, same place, same time. Any closing remarks?
Good night, people. Thanks for tuning in. Talking Sports with 12th Man. We'll see you guys next week.
Good night, people.